Please be seated. Please be seated. We, as you know, these past few weeks have been studying some of the parables, and today we're taking a look at the parable of the mustard seed. Now, will you please stand up and let's read. I'm sorry to make you stand and sit. We're going to do that 5 more times today. But I always like to stand when we read God's holy word. First one is from Mark chapter 4, verse 30. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Father, Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is effective. I know that what you do has purpose and intention. Your word will not return to us void. It always accomplishes that for which you intend it. Your word is a light that guides us in the dark. It is relevant to every pressing need that we have. I pray, Father, that our faith will carry us both in good times and in bad times. And I pray, Father, that we will understand the power of the mustard seed in our lives, each and every one in our families, and how important that can be. Bless us today, Lord, as we examine your word. In Jesus' name, amen. A young father was watching his 1.5-year-old baby son. And the wife was out shopping that morning. And he was watching his son, 1.5 years old, for several hours, and it started getting close to lunchtime. So he thought he was going to make himself a ham sandwich. And so he put his son down in a pack and play, went and started to make himself a ham sandwich, and he loved mustard. So he got mustard, and he loaded all over that ham sandwich. And then his son started crying. So he ran over and picked up his son after he had just taken one bite out of that ham sandwich. He picked up his son, and he noticed he had mustard all over his hand. So he licked it all off, only to discover it was not mustard. He ran to the sink and did the best he could, holding his son, rinsing out his mouth from you know what. When his wife got home, his wife said to him, "Now you know why they call this kind of mustard poupon." The parable that we're going to take a look at today is found in all three synoptic gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is not in John, but it's in three of the gospels. I want to encourage you to take this sheet, turn it over to this side, take some notes this morning. On the surface, this looks like a very simple parable. But it has provided difficulty down through the ages in interpreting it. So we're going to take a look at it in different ways about its size and what the size can mean, because there are different ways of interpreting it concerning the size. So the first one we're going to take a look at, its growth is unnatural. The growth of the mustard seed is unnatural. As you saw in the film, those mustard seeds are so very tiny. They are very, very tiny. And this is magnified many, many times. You can literally hold hundreds upon hundreds of them in your hand of mustard seeds. Hundreds of them and hundreds of them. Jesus says that it grows into a tree in one of the readings that we read. And there have been those down through the ages that have said, this can't be true, because everybody knows a mustard seed plant is not a tree, it's a plant. It's a bush. And so, we knowing what Jesus is all about, says that this growth is unnatural. It's not normal. And that if it is indeed a tree, that it grows because God is God and God is almighty and he can do whatever he wants with anything he wants because he created everything. The mustard seed, if you don't know this, represents the church. It represents the church. And at times, down through the ages, the church seems insignificant. Any new work in ministry that we begin starts off very, very small and tiny. Any new missionary work that is started starts out tiny and is very hard work. It seems insignificant. At times today, if you look out on our culture, you may get the impression that the church is having no effect at all. And all of the people who take statistics is saying, we're not doing that. However, that has happened down through the ages. If you look back to our country in the early 1700s, somewhere around 1730, 1740, people stopped going to church. The age of enlightenment had come. People thought they were really, really smart, really, really intelligent. As the age of enlightenment came and had an impact upon the culture at that time. And then, somewhere between 1730 and 1740, Jonathan Edwards came along. George Whitfield came along. The Wesley boys came along. And we have what is called the Great Awakening in our country that changed everything. We need today another Great Awakening because of what we see and what is happening today. And at times, the kingdom in a church seems insignificant. However, it is a mighty force that nothing will be able to squash and destroy. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't know about you, that encourages me. I said this before, when I was a very young pastor, that doesn't mean I'm an old pastor. Who's looking at me like I'm old? Bob. Bob raised his hand. Can you believe that? But I said this before. When I was a young pastor, and we were very, very tiny, very, very tiny, we didn't even know if we were going to make it. We started in our home. And then there used to be a restaurant on Broadhead Road called Descanio's Restaurant. And we knew the chef. I knew the chef. He invited us into to have our study, bless you, in the upper room in his restaurant. We were in the upper room in his restaurant. How biblical, right? And at times when we bought that building, because this wasn't here, it didn't seem like we were going to make it. I was told we have enough money for a couple more months. Then I said, so be it. If that's the case, then somehow we missed it. I didn't feel embarrassed about it. Somehow we missed it, or I missed it. And so with things like that, people often say, well, maybe God doesn't want your church to grow. Maybe God wants your church to stay small. However, as I became older and wiser, the question I began to ask myself was, does God want his kingdom to grow? Yes. Is this church or any church part of God's kingdom? Yes. God not only wants this church to grow, but any church that is preaching the gospel, he wants to grow. I've never wanted to become a huge church. I just want to become a church big enough that we can make a difference in this area and the surrounding area. And as I said a number of times, I want to be able to have an impact on the sports in this area so that our people aren't pulled in different directions, so that we're big enough that we can go to the meetings that they have and say, no, we can't do that at 11 o'clock. We can't do it at 12 o'clock. Let's push it to 2 o'clock. Then we would have an impact. Does God want this church and other churches to grow? Yes, he does. Second possible meaning, its growth is symbolic. To the Jewish people, the mustard seed symbolized something insignificant. And as you saw on the film, those seeds are so very, very, very tiny. And so when they thought of the mustard seed, they thought of something very, very insignificant. However, the mustard seed is not really the smallest of all seeds. And so when you read that, you think, this is another one of those things where people trying to tear apart the Bible and the gospel. Yes, there is a smaller seed in the world, the orchid seed. And it is smaller. However, it doesn't exist in there. This would be the smallest seed in that area where Jesus lived and the people can identify. Understand what I'm saying? And so when you hear that, if someone says to you, oh, it's not the smallest seed in existence, but it was back then, and it was there where the people lived, and Jesus was talking to the people there. He was teaching them. That's what's important. It's a deliberate hyperbole that Jesus was making. It's a deliberate hyperbole used by Jesus to emphasize how tiny the church was when it began and how tiny the community of faith was. It's a perfect model for the kingdom of God. It's a perfect model for the church. The kingdom is not likened necessarily to the mustard seed, but to what happens to the mustard. It's all about what happens to the mustard seed and being so very, very tiny and what we see. Do you know what the largest, let's call it religion to compare, but we know, of course I know and you know too, the largest religion in the world is Christianity. Christianity. You know what the second one is? Islam. Muslim. But the largest in the world. So it's what happens to the mustard seed. And if the mustard seed represents the church and a kingdom, it is. It's happened. It has happened. All that the kingdom would become was in that seed. Everything that the kingdom of God would become was indeed in that seed. Third, God is always working. Even when you can't see him working, he's working. That should be good news to us. That should be an encouragement to us. Just as he can make that tiny seed become a huge plant, and it is. Do you know that the mustard seed grows from that tiny plant to about 9 foot tall? And it bushes out all over. It's like a huge bush. That's out. It's about, it can grow to this tall. Many of them are like this, but it can grow to be that tall, and it's out like this. It's a huge bush. Huge bush. Unless it's a miracle and it grows into a tree. In that meaning. But just as he can make that mustard seed grow to abnormal heights, he can do big and powerful things for us. God is interested in you. God is interested in your family. God is interested in your marriage. God is interested in your children. Maybe your children are not where they need to be, and I hear stories like that all the time. Maybe your career is getting rocky. Maybe your job is on the line. And you wonder where God is. Things may look like it's impossible. But the mustard seed is a message of hope to those who are immobilized by fear, to those who are immobilized by pain, to those who look and don't see any hope anywhere. The mustard seed is an encouragement to all of us. Things may look bleak. Things may appear little. Things may look like there's no hope. Things may look like God doesn't care. But the mustard seed is a message of hope to all Christians everywhere. One of my favorite people, and I know for many of you, one of your favorite people, A.W. Tozer, who was a great man of God. He died in 1963. He had a great influence. He wrote some great books. He said this, I love this. Anything God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. Anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you. Anything God has ever done 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, he can do right now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, whether it's in Jerusalem, Capernaum, anywhere, he can do right here in Center Township. Anything God has ever done for anyone, whether it's in Scripture or any healings, he can do for you. The question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that? I only heard one yes. That means I'm very worried about all the rest of you. I'm very concerned. He can. You know that life is a journey of faith? It is. That's one of the most important messages of the mustard seed. Life is a journey of faith. I think people all over the world know that life is a journey, but I don't think they couple it with it being a journey of faith. It is that. It's a journey of faith. Like any journey, the road is difficult to predict. Sometimes the road is smooth. Sometimes the road has curves. Sometimes the road has minor little holes in it. Other times, the road has giant potholes in it. As we travel on our journey of faith in this life, we may think like this, boy, that Wayne, or that Rob, or that John, boy, they have faith. I wish I had faith like that. They really have faith. I don't have that kind of faith. You may think like that. You may be thinking that you don't have that kind of faith. That's what this parable is all about. That's what it's all about. You may think, and wish that you had faith big enough, but that's what mustard seed faith is all about. It's little. It's tiny. Don't let the size of your faith get you down. It's not about the size of your faith. That's what Jesus is teaching. And then there's this scripture verse in a different chapter, Matthew 17. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Well, how many of you have done that? Raise your hands. How many of you have done that? Nobody. I am so surprised. You know, the last time I checked, nowhere in Scripture do you see an example of someone moving a mountain from here to there. This is an illustration that Jesus is using. And he's talking about issues in life, the things that may appear like mountains in our life. It's an illustration. He's referring to not little mountains, but an illustration to show us that things in our lives appear like mountains in our lives. Jesus is teaching that amazing things can happen if we have faith. Faith is not abstract. It's not abstract. Your faith, my faith, must have an object. You know what the object of our faith is? God. It's not your faith that moves mountains. And I can remember when I was a young Christian, I would hear people say sometimes, boy, if it were yesterday, if it were last week, I wouldn't be sick. I'd have enough faith. As if it's faith in their faith. It is not faith in faith. It is faith in God. It's faith in God. It is God who moves the mountains. Faith is small as a mustard seed. Little faith, this is what this teaches. Little faith plus big God equals huge results. Okay, you're dismissed. You can go home now. That's what this is teaching. Little faith, little mustard seed faith plus a big God equals huge results. But here we are, we're mere humans. Every single one of us. Trust doesn't come easy for us. Faith doesn't come easy for us. We talk about it. We high-five it. We read it in Scripture. But in our lives, it doesn't come easy. Why? Because our humanity teaches us not to trust. How many times have you been let down by people? More than 5 times, I'm sure. How many times have we learned that, wow, I was counting on that person. They said they were coming. They just didn't show up. Wow. Wow. Second, we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to get hurt. We get hurt easily. We're fragile. We don't like to admit that. Even the toughest guy gets hurt. Yeah. Who wants to mess with me? Who wants to mess with me? Then see that fellow over there. Ron, see Ron. He handles my light work. If Drew were here today, I'd say, see Drew. Third, trust is hard because of pride. Some people have this problem. It's bigger for them than others. Men don't ask for directions. I do. Ask my wife. I ask everybody for directions. But men in general, they don't want to talk about their particular problem. They don't want to feel like they don't have a handle on things. Fourth, God's ways don't always make sense to us, and so we kind of move back. We take a step back. I was praying, but I found out that it doesn't work. God's ways don't always... We want God to be the magic genie who comes out of the lamp every time we rub that lamp. And when he doesn't come out and do what we want, we take a step back and we disappear again. How can we grow mustard seed faith? How can we grow faith as small as a mustard seed? I want to give you some ideas. One, we kind of know this. Build a real vital relationship with God. Real. Real. I'm not talking about, I said the sinner's prayer, and that's all there is to it. Just as you have a real, hopefully a real vital relationship with your husband or wife, a real, real vital relationship with God. When you have relationships that are real with people, you spend time talking with them. You spend time with them. Two, slow down. Be still. Psalm 46. Be still. God says, be still and know that I am God. Slow down. Slow down. Take that time. Make that time. Third, have a devotional time. As I said a number of times, 80% of those who call themselves Christians have no devotional time with God. 80% have a devotional time. Four, boy, this is a novel idea. Ask God for help. Lord, I am struggling. I am struggling. I'm having a tough time. If he doesn't come for help the first week, the second week, third week, maybe the first year, maybe the first couple years, don't give up. And I've said this in the past. I know when I've gone through a tough time and I feel like, okay, Lord, I think I've learned my lesson. I'm ready to move on. And he doesn't. You know what that tells me? I haven't. I just don't want to be in that spot anymore. I don't want to be in that tough time anymore. That's all. And he may keep us there because we haven't learned what we should have learned. And he may keep us there until we do learn that. For our good. Five, begin to trust God in little things. Because if you don't trust him in the little things, if you're not spending that time with him, when something big comes along, and I guarantee something big will come along at least once in your life, for some, many times, if you don't trust him in the little things in life, when the big thing comes along, you won't know what to do because you haven't been going little by little with God, trusting him for the little things. Six, set aside your own expectations. God, what would you have me do? Lord, I want, this is what I need, what I think I need. What do you think I need? This is what I want. What do you want? This isn't working the way I think it should, Lord. Set aside your own expectations and trust him. Trust him. Seven, search your doubt to find its root. Search your doubt to find its root. When did this start? What happened? What happened? When people are young Christians, they're very excited about Christ. They see the colors look brighter. Life seems bigger. They have an excitement about everything. That lasts many times from what I've talked to people and my own when I was a young Christian. It lasts for about a year. And then after about a year, one day you wake up and you wonder, where did God go? What happened? I don't have that same sense, that same feeling. Where did God go? He didn't go anywhere. He is that mother bird. We are the little birds in the nest. And he said, okay, I've coddled you enough. I've given you many worms to eat. I've fed you. I've looked after you. I've given you all of this for a long time. Now, I want you to go out and fly. I want you to go out to fly. And flying takes faith. And we say, no, I want to stay in the nest. No, I want you to fly. Search your doubt to find its root. What happened? Maybe you're flatlining it. Don't flatline it. Eight, believe that God hears you when you pray. Believe that God hears you when you pray. When Jesus was standing before the tomb of Lazarus and he was praying, he said, Father, I know that you always hear me. If he hears Jesus, he hears us. He hears us. Nine, When I talk about prayer, I like to say this one. Pray audacious prayers. Pray audacious prayers. Pray audacious prayers. I can't say anything more about that. It is what it is. It says what it says. And 10, take hold of Christ. Take hold of Christ. Look, it's a big faith there. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I take him. Forsaking all, I take him. That's the key to life. That's not a key. That's not a key for becoming successful in this culture, but it is key. It's a key to this life and a key to eternity. It's a key to this life and a key to eternity. Forsaking all, I take him. You ever hear of Kyle MacDonald? I think I told this story about 10 years ago. Kyle MacDonald. True story. He was a fellow young man with a dead-end job, didn't have a lot of money, and he wanted to see what would happen if he could trade that red paperclip and get a house. So, he went on the internet. I'm going to read to you what he did. He started with one red paperclip. First, he traded that red paperclip for a fish-shaped pen. Then he traded that pen for a doorknob. Then he traded that doorknob for a Coleman stove. Then he traded the Coleman stove for an electric generator. He traded that electric generator for a Budweiser sign and a keg of beer, which he then traded for a snowmobile. He traded that for a small panel truck. After 1 year and 14 trades later, MacDonald finally reached his goal. He traded a part in a Hollywood movie for a house in Saskatchewan, Canada. He wrote a book called One Red Paperclip. And for a number of years now, there have been some been trying to make this into a movie. They begin it and they stop it and so on and so forth because it is such a great story. I believe our Christian faith is like that red paper clip. It's very tiny. It's small, it seems, like the paper clip and like a mustard seed. We can't lament the size of the times or the things that we think about our faith. We can take that mustard seed faith and trust God and hold on to what I like to call the invisible rope. There's an invisible rope that hangs down from heaven. You can't see it, but you hold on to it very tightly. You hold on to it with all of your might. Each of you has a little mustard seed inside of you. You all have that. I have it. We have a little mustard seed inside of us. It's waiting to be released. Okay. I'm waiting for it to be released too. Each of you has a tiny mustard seed just waiting to be released. Little faith. Listen to this. Little faith is not the same as no faith. Little faith is not the same as no faith. Little faith plus big God equals huge results. Say that with me. Little faith plus big God equals huge results. Say that again. Little faith plus big God equals huge results. If you don't believe that, you've got to go to the mourner's bench and find out and read your scripture and read the Bible 10 times. That's your penance. Musicians, I hope you believe everything you heard today. It's true. Release the mustard seed that's in you. Amen. Don't forget, Natalie Shoup is waiting for a bunch of you in the next room. Pastor Steve, will you dismiss us?
Dear Father, we thank you that we can have faith that you, we pray that our faith will just build and build, Lord, even though it's as small as a mustard seed, Lord, we pray that we place that faith in you, Lord. We thank you for this chance to worship your name. We thank you for this chance to hear your word. We pray that we will be more and more in your word and spending more time with you, Lord. We ask you to bless this time of working with helping hands, Lord. We pray that it is a wonderful time together, and we pray that you will bless this ministry. We thank you for this chance here today, Lord. Ask a blessing on everyone here. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.